I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Here's our friend Jalen Thompson from The Star in Kansas City. Covers the Royals. Just covered that two-game sweep in the wild card series against Baltimore. Headed now to New York, where the Royals begin that best-of-five series on Saturday against the Yankees. Jalen, hello. Welcome.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Good to talk to you again.
We're doing well. We appreciate you doing this. We know you're busy. So I guess the first thing I'll ask you is, everybody's kind of shocked about the Tigers, the Royals. When did you first think to yourself, you know, this Kansas City team might be for real?
Honestly, I think when they got through April and they got through May, and you kind of looked at June and you're like, you know what? This team can really pitch. If they can keep the hitting going, then there's a chance that they could be in contention. I know that's what everyone was really looking and banking on is, They always have a slow start. It's always a slow April. They're always out of it. And, you know, going through last year when they lost the 105th game, when I came on to the beat, I believe they were like only had 9 wins and had already had 20 losses. So I kind of got the back end of just how tough it was for them to really have a fast start. But now seeing where they are now, I would say around the 1st of June.
Yeah, so you talked about them being able to keep their pitching going, and if they could keep their hitting going, big things can happen. And that happened for a big chunk of the season, but they have not hit much over the final couple weeks of the regular season, not a ton in the first two games. And, of course, you don't read too much into two games, but when it's part of a bigger picture. And you know Bobby Witt's a threat. Can anyone else in this lineup turn themselves into a threat against the Yankees? And if not, can they win games with that staff still?
Yeah, I think that they can definitely win games with the staff because you're talking about Michael Walker's going on Saturday. But then you have Cole Reagans and you have potentially Seth Lugo lined up to go as well later in the series. So you could potentially steal a game in New York and then try to win it on your home field at the K. Kauffman Stadium. But as far as the offense goes, I think the Royals have to – manufactured the runs. You know, Vinny Pasquantino came back. He had an RBI single. They missed that. When he was out, they were one of the worst teams with runs in scoring position. They just couldn't scratch across a run. So having Vinny be back in the middle of Bobby and Salvador Perez, that's a huge thing for this offense. And you're right. I think it's going to have to be an unlikely hero, an unsung hero that has to step up. Depending on who that could be, could that be Michael Massey? He had 2 hits against the Orioles, really big, crucial hits. In those first two games, we'll have to see who it may be. Could it be a Hunter Renfroe? Could it be even a Tommy Pham? But it's just going to have to be someone other than the big three for sure.
But then they pinch hit for Michael Massey late in the game. Anyway, we'll get to that later. Go ahead, dude.
Well, but don't you think that's going to be the problem? I mean, if you're only going to score 2 or 3 runs, you're not going to beat the Yankees, even with that pitching staff. There's too much firepower there. So what's the coaching staff saying? Is it that they're worried about the Yankees offense, which you would have to be with guys like Judge and Soto in that lineup? because that's going to be put a lot of pressure on.
Another one in that lineup. That's my. You can survive that lineup.
Verdugo. I mean, do we got to go through the whole lineup? Well, all right. Well, Bob disagrees, but I'm curious on what you think.
I look at it like this: the Yankees, they have tremendous power. They do. You know what Aaron Judge is going to do. You know what Juan Soto is going to do. Giancarlo Stanton is also a threat with his power. Anthony Rizzo. But you guys mentioned Verdugo and whatnot. But you also have to look at the Yankees have a lot of swing and miss, too. So if the Royals can pitch the way they pitched the first two games against the Orioles, and Michael Wacha, who, if you look at his numbers since in the second half of the season after the All-Star break, he's been outstanding, one of the best pitchers in the league. I believe he has like a 2.7 ERA, I believe, something around there. The Royals, they don't have to go in feeling pressure or concerned or anything. All that's on the Yankees. The Yankees are the top seed. They're at home. The Yankees are supposed to win this series. That's what everyone is predicting and saying, right? The Royals are playing with house money. And when you play with house money, that makes you very, very dangerous. And I think the Royals can potentially upset them in game one if they're not careful.
Couldn't agree more. I know the Yankees are the number one seed. I know they have superstars in that lineup, but I do think you can maneuver that lineup, especially with the pitching staff as good as the Royals have been. So let's talk about the future, because the Royals have every move they've made has been incredible, including getting Lucas Hursig to close games. I mean, how in the world do you get a guy like that at the trade deadline for as little as they had to give up? It's just amazing. They have the Midas touch. What needs to happen in this offseason to make sure that this isn't just a one-year wonder, a one-year blip? How do they build something sustainable?
I think the good thing that you've seen about this run is the fact that you have relievers that are emerging. You mentioned Lucas Hursig. He's going to be there to close game. Angel Zerpa, who had one of the best performances in game two, he comes in, bases loaded, one out. He gets a strikeout and he gets a ground out. And he comes back out the next inning and gets another one plus out. I think he'll be someone that you can rely on in that bullpen. And look at what Chris Bubich has done, Sam Long has done, John Schreiber. All those guys are still going to be under contract, pretty much. So your bullpen is kind of shaping itself into be really strong and really great. I can't forget about Dale Lynch, the 4-for-2 in that bullpen. But to answer your question, I would say the Royals, I believe, need to add more offensive firepower. Maybe another outfielder that can give you consistency. You thought you had that with Hunter Renfro this season, and he didn't really put up the year that we're accustomed to seeing Hunter Renfro put up. You need someone to probably take one of those outfield spots, and you need more out of MJ Melendez and Michael Garcia. Those are two players at two spots where if they're going to be on this team long-term, they have to be more productive.
Yeah, you mentioned the bullpen, and that's kind of where I was going. They were talking yesterday on the ESPN broadcast about how they've really reshaped the bullpen ever since kind of Ursae got there, and they've moved guys around and moved guys to the bullpen and let guys kind of settle in. I mean, another thing that's just been a move that worked perfectly, how much credit does J.J. Piccolo get around the league for what he's done this year? He's got to be Executive of the Year, doesn't he?
Yeah, I would be totally shocked if he does not win Executive of the Year. Just everything that he's done, he's pressed the right button at the right time. Even going back to getting Yuli Gurriel, Robbie Grossman, and Tommy Pham, those three guys have come in, and while they may not have made a huge dividend in the stat sheet or in the win column, they just know how to play baseball, and they play well. And they have been here. They've been through these wars. They've been through these moments. A lot of fans have to realize that it's not just what you see on the field. It's off the field as well. Quick story. Will Smith, he wasn't on the wild card postseason roster, but that his impact the entire year has been phenomenal. Michael Massey, he brought up a good story in the press conferences yesterday. He said, you know, talking to Will Smith after the Royals have lost 7 straight, he's like, the good thing is we won't be able to lose tomorrow. And it was just like eye-opening in a perspective where it's like a lot of guys could have got down on themselves, and he's making a joke about losing seven straight, but hey, he's saying it's like it's baseball. Everything's going to be okay. We'll bounce back. I think that kind of mentality, that kind of leadership has permeated the entire clubhouse, and that's really what's helped the Royals have that resiliency that they have now.
Well, we've kind of broken that game or the series down a little bit, but what would your prediction be in this series? And with that, what's your prediction in the other series, too, with Detroit and Cleveland?
With the Royals, I think they have a really good chance to beat the Yankees and be competitive. I think that if they're going to be successful, they have to win a game in New York and then take both games at home. Everybody says the K is a different experience, and I'm looking forward to see that. I think the Royals have the ability to do that, but like you said, they have to score runs. If they don't score against the Yankees, then the Yankees will probably win that series. Flipping over to the Tigers and the Guardians, it's so hard to predict an American League Central series, but Tigers have been so hot, and I just think that they might be just another team with destiny, and you might see them potentially move forward to the ALCS because you just don't play that hot and continue to move forward. Look at the Arizona Diamondbacks last year. They were a similar team that did the same thing. So I think my money will be on the Tigers against the Guardians.
Well, as you were saying all that, my son, Jeff, who is a co-host and a Guardians fan, was making some obscene gestures into the microphone.
I choked on my own spit, I think, for a second.
I apologize for that behavior.
Hey, I mean, Cleveland has a good team, but do they have enough starting pitching to counteract what the Tigers are doing right now? They're just really hot.
Well, it's going to be fun. I hope I'm going to read some reminiscing of the Yankees and Royals from the 70s from some of the members of the Star staff. I'm sure I will. They had some knockdown dragouts back in that time, and this might be another one. Jalen, thank you very much for fitting us in today.
For sure. Thank you, guys. I always got time for y'all. Y'all have been so great for me and so welcoming, and I can't wait to talk to you guys again.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.